My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Hello.
Back from the Champagne Room at AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22. Wait, what do we learn that this place is called? Billiards. Nope. MacGuffins.
MacGuffins.
Live from MacGuffins.
That's
Why
right.
Why did I say billiards?
Yeah.
What is this place snooker. Called? Tennis
it's,
ball?
It's called snooker.
What is this?
No, and we're back at AMC Lowe's Waterfront
22. Welcome to the new bar, Backgammon.
And we're going to talk to you about Deepwater Horizon. And little spoiler, for months, Aaron and I have been saying, oh, geez.
Kind of making fun of it.
And I'll just say pleasantly surprised.
Very surprised.
We'll tell you more this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, September 30th, 2016. My name's Sean Collier.
My name is Aaron Kleiber.
There's Aaron Kleiber.
Yeah.
We're back. I feel like we haven't been here in a while, but I'm totally making that up. Where were we last week? Right here, right?
What did we see last week?
We talked about... I can't remember a movie from 1 week
Sully?
To the next. No, that's 3 weeks ago. It was Sully, then Evil Dead, then...
Evil Dead?
I mean, Blair Witch.
Holy hell.
And then Magnificent Seven. That's... And when, yeah, we were here.
We were here for Magnificent Seven.
I had
Seven.
A cold, remember? I eventually just stopped the podcast because I was tired of talking.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a good ending, though.
Yeah. It was quick.
Yeah.
And we're done.
I don't know if anybody listens all the way to the end, but we usually try to close the show very creatively.
Do we?
Like an odd ending sometimes.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
We wait for the...
Sean, I'm trying to get people to listen to the whole podcast, and you're like, meh, one out of ten episodes, it's funny.
What's the improv term when you edit? We try to do a blackout. We try to edit...
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
We try to do a pretty good blackout.
See those improv classes I'm taking with past and future guest Missy Marino already paying good. Off? I'm going to plug that. Look up, if you are in the Pittsburgh area and you want to learn how to do anything funny, look up Missy. She will not charge you an arm and a leg, and she is the best goddamn teacher.
She's my sister, Missy.
Imaginable.
I love her with all my heart. She's, kids call her Aunt Missy.
She's my life coach. Like, sometimes I go and we have an improv.
She's not your life coach.
She is.
No. I'm gonna turn the podcast off and give you advice.
Sometimes I go and we have an improv class.
She's an amazing happy coach.
And other times,
and
yes.
an amazing improv
other
coach.
Other times we just sit down and talk and she helps me find my joy.
That is a great way to put it.
Right.
Missy helps you find your joy.
Absolutely.
And she's an amazing improv teacher. She's one of the best improvisers I've ever met. And I knew her when we were improvising as middle schoolers.
Yeah. So if you need to learn how to be funnier, that's where you got to go.
Yeah.
What's her, just hit her up on Twitter, at Psyche It's Missy.
Yep.
S-I-K-E, It's Missy.
I don't know if you know that term, psych.
Psych. Yeah.
Like, just
I grew
kidding.
Up in the 90s.
Yeah, but you know, psych. Some people around the country, I've found that people don't know what psych was.
Oh, is that a regional thing?
I think so. It might have been like a Philly to Chicago type of thing.
I don't
because
I remember
like I said psych, I'm kidding, and they were like, "What?"
Yeah,
I was like, and I think it was in Michigan or oh no, I was in Wisconsin.
They didn't know that.
Yeah, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay,
not Wisconsin.
Yeah,
but yeah, but like they were just like, "Huh?" What? And I was like, "Psych." And they were like, "What?" I'm like, you know, it's just kidding. Yeah, I don't know.
Back to Magnificent Seven for a bit before we go on to Deepwater Horizon. Yet again, this is another week where I was surprised that a lot of critics did not agree with us. A lot of people did not enjoy Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, I don't. I think we're just bad at our job now, or everyone else is idiots.
Or no, we're really good at our job. If everyone thought the same thing, there would only have to be one movie critic.
I know.
It would just be Leonard Maltin alone. Like that's why there's more. And
I
if
trust
you're listening
ourselves.
To us, probably you trust us. And I mean, look, you could have read Magnificent Seven to say it had a little less substance than some of them, maybe, but I just thought it was well written, well made, well looked beautiful. I love that cast.
Good action direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like how Antoine Fuqua, he directs kind of like 90s action.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you watch it, it reminds me of the direction in like Lethal Weapon.
Okay, I see that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way he directs action. Anyway, mm-hmm. just check that out.
Yeah, I would, if you're on the fence about Magnificent Seven, I still say go. You got to go. That's
yeah,
a good
it's
one.
Great.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, my father-in-law, I don't, my wife and I are building a house.
Yeah.
And I'm going to preface this real quick.
If you're hanging out with Aaron anytime soon, you're going to hear about a house. You're going to hear some things.
That's all that's happening.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But anyway, my in-laws are moving in with us.
Right.
And, you know, my wife's dad, he's the man. And I said, oh, this is, he rarely will watch movies.
Yeah.
I'm speaking about movies, guys. Listen carefully. Mm. he will watch movies on TV a little bit, you know. But the last movie they saw in the theater was probably like Titanic.
Okay.
I mean, they go probably to the movie theater every 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I know Titanic was a long time ago. I know.
It's like I go to the horse track once every half a decade.
Sure.
I'll stop by.
So this is something that I know Pap would love, Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the very next week, Deepwater Horizon.
Yeah.
Another one. I told you, I go, my wife's father would love this movie.
Yeah.
Are we talking about bro movies here?
No, I don't think we're talking about bro movies. I think we're talking about...
dude movies?
Okay, we're talking about bro movies a little. Not bro movies, dude movies. Manvies.
Well, isn't that bad? What's the test?
The Bechdel test, yeah. I mean, both of these movies fail
bad?
It. Well,
but aren't we allowed to have a Legally Blonde?
That's
the way I always respond to that.
It's in a vacuum, it's not bad. It's bad because every movie fails it. That's what makes it bad.
Oh,
but
okay.
That doesn't make a good movie bad.
Now,
just
trust me,
because.
I don't want people to think, you know, especially female listeners. I mean, look, I'm the Bechdel test, right?
Yeah,
that's what it is. I'm down with that.
Right.
Like there's a lot of things. What do we see that really bothered us? How sexist it was.
Well, I felt that way about Hardcore Henry.
Yeah, but, I think you're a little off. I think you were digging for that one.
I
disagree, but I agree with your sentiment. I'm
right.
Like, I can see it. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. I can't name the movie that particularly I felt that way about. But no.
But you know what I'm saying is that, you know, even if there's an action like Hardcore Henry, and and if I thought it was a little too much, I'd be like, meh. I would leave a sort, you know, kind of sour taste in my mouth. And Magnificent Seven has a female character.
Yeah, Magnificent Seven at least has,
and she's kind of a hero.
Yeah, at least made sure there was a female hero in the film. Where certainly
that
not
was creative.
Certainly not
it was
in the
a good
original
way to do it.
Yeah, they did it very well. It's not in the original. Would have been nicer if there was a female in the Seven. That would have been a little
Sean,
bit.
Now
better.
You're really changing the movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am. Correct.
We could have went done with like an Asian, like girl throwing knives.
Yeah,
little Chun-Li.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, because there's a feminist icon, Chun-Li.
No, action.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
I could have said, "What's her face from? What's her name from Crouching Tiger?"
Now I'm the jerk because I don't remember.
Or that chick that beat the shit out of Chris Tucker in every Rush Hour movie.
Yeah, her.
That he would always chase.
Was that Bai Ling?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, that was the same girl that was in Kill Bill, right?
No. Kill Bill was, I used to know her name. Chiaki? I don't know, I'll figure it out.
Damn.
I'll figure it out.
Well, you came out with Chiaki.
Who was in Battle Royale?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why she's in Kill Bill.
If you're playing the loose...
We did talk about that.
If you're playing the Lou Stein drinking game, you're drunk by now, because we haven't really talked about...
I did say Deepwater Horizon.
You did say Deepwater Horizon.
I said that Pap would love Deepwater Horizon.
The point is that... I think that's...
I want to go to bed, too.
I think that's the thing. You know, having a movie fail the Bechdel test... does not make it a bad movie, but it doesn't, you know, help. But, you know, in something like this, Chiaki Kuriyama. I got halfway there.
Wow, that's impressive.
I got halfway there. Gogo, who played Gogo in Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah.
D Deepwater, like, as we said in the intro, I was coming into this like, oh my god, I do not want this to be a movie. I don't think it'll work for as a movie. And they made a movie that was both a really effective true life story and a pretty good action movie and a very interesting and almost, I would, bordering on educational look at how this was done, how this work is done,
keep
and
going,
how
Sean.
The accident happened.
I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
I was really surprised. I thought it was going to be like a really maudlin, like, maudlin. You know, we nice. Gotta, you know, we gotta get to the boat the yeah. whole time.
I like your get to the boat voice.
Yeah, and
we gotta get to the boat. You sound like Jimmy Buffett asking for the crowd to throw him a joint. Hey, somebody throw me a doobie. Can you say that?
A doobie?
No, that sentence. That
you want me? Somebody throw me a doobie.
See?
Like that? Yeah.
That voice is in perfect context.
Yeah, all right. So I'll, if I ever go to an Eagles concert, I'll talk like that the whole time.
I just realized I can connect the dots. I'm pretty,
yeah,
pretty sharp.
You're doing good. But yeah, it's. I didn't expect to be interested. I thought at best it'll get me hooked up in the story when they're trying to get out like an action
right,
movie.
Right, right.
But instead, the first, I mean, there's probably an hour before the accident that's just
and
them
we were gripped.
Yeah, that's just
I was into it.
On the ring, and they're arguing with the people from BP about whether
that.
It's safe. That was real good.
And it what I really like about it, and this I want to give Peter Berg credit, the director. I think he's really good at seeing realism.
Mm-hmm.
Like he really, there's a lot of realism in his movies. But anyway, I loved. But you're right. That first hour,
yeah,
was really like it felt like you were on a rig with a bunch of guys working.
Yeah, a lot of
felt very real.
A lot of realism in the in those scenes, in the just guys hanging out, and one female employee. Yeah, I don't think I ever saw more than one. There was the one.
No, there was one. Yeah.
But not only that, that in a couple of pretty clever
ways.
She was
in charge of the whole boat.
Yeah.
So
in a couple of, and all of these are real, based on real people.
Yeah.
A couple of really creative ways they found to teach the audience
amazing.
What's going on.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty masterful, actually, how, you know. Well, first of all, I did not know this was about to be BP oil spill.
Yes.
I asked Sean, and I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even know that the rig thing happened.
Yeah.
Really?
You said that this just happened to be a story that you didn't really follow.
Yeah, I just didn't.
Yeah.
But they did a great job of, like, it's a complicated thing.
Well, we can give...
And it was just, like I said, it was masterful
yeah.
how they... explained how this complicated thing happened.
And we could give this away because this isn't a spoiler. One of the ways they do that, you know, Mark Wahlberg is the main character. And, you know, so we're spending time with his family a little bit.
And Mark Wahlberg
does a pretty
good
daughter.
Job.
Yeah, he's good. And his daughter, to explain to us what this job is
yeah.
and what
spoiler
this,
alert, but,
yeah,
you know.
What this rig, how it worked...
Not
his daughter is has to give a school presentation on what her dad does.
Yeah.
And she just there's a scene where she just practices her presentation.
Amazing.
And it's like you found a perfect way to explain the general mechanics of this in a way
yeah.
that everybody's going to get and that doesn't take away from the plot at all.
Nope.
It's not
it's
you know,
introducing his family.
Yeah.
Also giving him a goal with him and his family.
Yeah.
And then basically setting up his entire job
yeah.
in a school experiment.
And it would have been really easy. You know, a worse movie would have done that by having, like, one dopey, clueless guy from BP on the helicopter going, what y'all do down here? You find the oil? Like, that's
yeah,
how
they
would have done it in a worse movie.
Yeah,
but
you're
credit,
absolutely right.
Credit to the writers, Matthew Sand... and Matthew Michael Carnahan
yeah.
Are the two writers.
Matthew Michael
Carnahan has more experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He wrote some pretty good movies. I said to you before he wrote World War Z, but I was like, he's probably one of the nine people that wrote.
That had a long path.
And we'd have to look into it, but I mean, he might be the guy that fixed World War Z. Remember they finally got one or two people to fix it.
I think it was Damon Lindelof from Lost is the one they brought in to fix it.
No, because there was a resolved third act, Sean. So that doesn't make any sense.
No, it was Drew Goddard that was brought in to fix it. The Cabin in the Woods and The Martian.
Really good.
Guy. The World War Z was Matthew Michael Carnahan.
You gotta check out The Kingdom.
Yeah, I heard that's good.
Yeah, it's also Peter Berg.
Yes. With Jamie Foxx.
Chris Cooper, Jennifer Garner, Jason Bateman. Yeah, it's really good.
But there are they just found a lot of ways to give you some information like that. I mean, you got to. The bottom line is they were trying really hard here. I think what I was afraid of was this would be kind of a lazy, almost TV movie. You remember The Perfect Storm? That's a shitty movie. I thought it was going to be like
now,
that.
Now, Damon Lindelof, he probably wrote the end of that one.
Right.
Even though it was real, I don't care.
Yeah.
It was a shitty ending.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're absolutely right. And even when we are going through, you know, like the 33 and hold on a second. Let me just preface. This does not mean that Sean and I do not care about real life people that lost their lives.
No, absolutely not.
I'm just saying that they ruin them.
Yeah.
They're true life stories about people losing their lives, and they're kind of shitty most of the time.
Yeah.
They're kind of a TV movie, hastily thrown together. I mean, and honestly, this was up there as one of the better ones I've seen in a while.
I'll tell you what it's better than is Sully.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you... two.
Oh, yeah. This was an oil rig fire.
Right.
That was a plane...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Two relatively recent...
Great point.
Stories from the news.
Right.
In the past 10 years. When did the Sully crash happen? 05, 06? The oil spill was 2010.
Yeah.
And, Sully kind of got more attention because of who was involved.
Right.
This is definitely the better movie. On almost every level. Tom Hanks was good in Sully, and that was about it.
I was going to say, this is probably one of the best...
Birds.
Birds. That's so funny, Sean. Yeah. You'll see.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed with Michael Pena, World Trade Center.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot.
Now, a lot of people hated that. I did like it.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
You know, it really, Peter Berg did a really good job.
Let me tell you about this cast. Mark Wahlberg does fine.
Yeah, sure.
I
don't know.
One of his best performances. I don't think he's great.
Definitely one of his betters. Well, I think, honestly, I haven't seen him better than Boogie Nights.
I agree.
I mean, that could have been his best actor nomination.
But I think that other than that, in terms of his like really serious, you know, he's done a lot of action drama, you know, among those, I think this is the best I've seen him. I don't think he's a great actor.
He's good,
but he did fine here. Kurt Russell is perfect. Kurt Russell is real, real good. I mean, he always is.
He's so good. Oh, goddamn, was he good in Hateful Eight?
Yes, but here, this is perfect casting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he's so good.
Yeah.
You said he's perfect.
Eclipsed only by John Malkovich. Oh, my God. I want John Malkovich to read the news to me in the Creole accent
I want him to read... transcribed Tony Robbins speeches in that voice.
There's
something about that.
Unbelievable, meticulously researched every syllable Creole accent that
like
John Malkovich does here.
Street he grew up on.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. What dirt road he grew up on.
What swamp
in
he grew up
Louisiana.
In. Yeah. It's perfect. And he's kind of the big time BP
dick.
He's the BP dick.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic. The scenes between Kurt Russell and John Malkovich are...
Well, when it was going on, I kept leaning over to you. I'm like, holy shit.
I mean,
so
this
good.
Is not a movie that's really going to get award attention, I don't think. But Could either one of them be a Best Supporting Actor nominee?
I think so.
Definitely.
I think possibly, yeah.
Gina Rodriguez was very good.
She was really good.
She does a good job.
And I've never seen her before.
Yeah, what has she been in? Looking things up on IMDb, the podcast, she's on Jane the Virgin. She's on that. She's been nominated twice for Golden Globes for Jane the Virgin.
Wow.
And
I can picture her.
She's from the soap opera world. She was on The Bold and the Beautiful. So
wow,
there you go, struggling actors. Sometimes you do make that transition.
It's interesting.
Keep trying.
Yeah.
And Kate Hudson. I don't like Kate Hudson.
I think she's fine. I think she's sweet.
I mean, there's nothing to do with that part. Obviously, she's just the wife at home who has to cry.
Right.
It's a nothing role, but yeah, she was good and Almost Famous. She was, I think, like, there was something else that I thought she was good in, and I'm trying to look it up right
now.
But
you're killing me.
Yeah, I don't like her. She just bores the shit out of me. And a small role for Ethan Suplee.
Yeah, showed up out of nowhere.
You used to be his.
Not really. It's not that big of a deal. I was.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Kleiber was the stunt and body double for Ethan Suplee in the film Unstoppable.
Yeah.
If you catch the Denzel Washington film Unstoppable and Ethan Suplee's character falls down, that's not him. That's Aaron Kleiber falling down. I can still picture it because it's a weird kind of distant shot of you awkwardly falling near a train.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Also, my close-ups of my hands and my feet.
Yeah. There you go.
That's my hands and feet.
Yeah,
that's
you go.
So dumb.
Yeah.
So, but hey, showbiz is weird, guys.
Yeah, you got paid.
But guess what? You cashed that check.
Yes.
I only met him the first day I was there because it was in transition. Mm. So, because they can send him home and then pay me 1/100th of what he made.
Right.
But I did get to stand in the background a couple times when I was waiting around.
Uh-huh.
And the whole control room, I got to stare at Rosario Dawson all day.
Okay.
When I wasn't doing anything. Because we did. All of the train car stuff was on the same soundstage.
Oh, so, in downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would go back and forth kind of thing. And I got to watch Tony Scott for about 2 weeks direct Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
It was pretty rad. Yeah. Yeah, it was neat. I mean, I got to be in a couple scenes. I think I was wearing a red flannel shirt in the control room with Rosario a couple times.
Knock on any of your neighbor's door for wardrobe? Just wearing a nice
Munhall
outfit.
Oh, no, they gave
outfit.
Me something. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Because they were like,
there's a lot of red flannel going around.
Well, it's one of those things that like you show up and they're like, we're not going to be able to shoot you till 3.
Yeah.
You want to be in a scene with Rosario Dawson?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You're paying me daily. Whatever. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Deepwater Horizon.
I've never even looked at those scenes to see if I was actually standing behind her.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe.
Deepwater Horizon. Kate Hudson's good, dude.
No, I don't like her.
Kurt Russell is her dad.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that neat?
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, it is.
But nope, not a fan.
Well, now you know how I feel about Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, ugh.
And it's better for me because Kate Hudson isn't getting cast in
Kate Hudson is
Oscar
so
epics.
Much better looking than Sandra Bullock too. Let's be honest here.
It's, so.
Well, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? Is that what you're thinking of?
No.
Oh, do you remember Skeleton Key? She was in that.
I hated that.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's Halloween season, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure out a retro to do. My brother, Andy Collier, who's a past and future guest, asked me, okay, what's your retro? And have not come up with one yet. We got to get that done.
Well, I tell you what. If anybody wants to message in... why don't you guys hit us up with something that you think Ms. Sean may have not seen?
Sure.
But it's got to be mainstream enough where it will be a good episode that a majority of people have heard of the movie at least. Give us some good suggestions. I will say, don't say The Shining, or if you think it's in the top 10 Halloween movies of all time, I would say not suggest it.
Yeah.
But let me throw a couple at you, Sean.
Okay.
Have you seen The Exorcist, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've seen Halloween. You saw Friday the 13th
of course,
for the first
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Of course. Come on.
Friday the 13th. No. The first time I saw Friday the 13th, I was like 14 on a VHS tape.
All right.
I'm a horror, you know, I'm
I know. Yeah. At least you watch the greats. So we're looking for something that might fall in between the rankings of like number 10 all time to maybe, you know, 25.
Sure.
I just looked up at CBS and saw Tom Arnold.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
I just worked with him like two weeks ago.
With him in Cleveland. I'll plug this.
Okay.
And here's...
Oh, this is so cool. I wish I could make this.
The Manor Theater, which if you're in Pittsburgh, great, great theater in Squirrel Hill.
Yeah.
One of my favorite theaters since I started going to movies. Has a Saturdays at midnight horror series running through Halloween, starting tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Friday.
I might be able to make some of these.
And they went. They got a couple modern picks in, which is not usually what people do. October 1st, Green Room from earlier this year.
Not bad.
And
well, I wonder if second run is pretty cheap. Probably.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think that was that's
plus a movie that still wants to make some money.
That's still one of my favorite movies of the year, and not a lot of people saw it.
It was really good.
Definitely recommend it. Psycho will play October 8th. You know where I saw that in the theater was at the Byam Theater downtown.
Did you?
There was one summer where they were doing a lot of that era classics.
The original music?
No, I mean they just showed it.
Have you ever seen one of those things?
Yes.
Those are neat.
Yes. I saw when I was in I was on a family vacation to San Francisco. And I think it's called the Castro Theater, is like a Movie Palace from the 20s.
Right.
Was in the middle of a Hitchcock festival.
Oh, wow.
And they had the organist. They double featured Strangers on a Train and Rope.
Wow.
And had special guests, including Alfred Hitchcock's daughter.
Wow.
Who's in Psycho.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the one of the secretaries at the beginning.
Right.
That was great.
Wow.
You got to see. Hitchcock movies are great in the theater. That's October 8th. October 15th, Shaun of the Dead. Always fun.
Yeah.
October 22nd, there it is. It Follows is coming back.
I might have to go see that again.
It's so good.
In the theater.
It's so good.
What is it?
October 22nd. And the 29th.
Son of a bitch.
Evil Dead 2. See? Got creative there. That's the one I feel like.
I couldn't get Evil Dead.
I think they made a choice.
Nah, dude.
Evil Dead shows all the time. The original. I've seen the original in the theater at least twice.
I have. Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. Manorpgh.com if you're in the Pittsburgh area. Make sure you're at some of those. Speaking of, Row House will be doing stuff. And oh, hey, here's something I'm doing. Tomorrow night, if you're hearing this, very, very briefly, I will be making the briefest of appearances. For the first time in 7 years, as part of a Rocky Horror Picture Show Shadowcast, tomorrow night at the Dormont Theater in Hollywood.
Are you?
Or rather, the Hollywood Theater.
That's fun.
In Dormont. I used to be a Rocky Horror person who would dress up and do the thing.
Would you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did for like a solid year either.
What'd you play?
Usually Dr. Scott in the wheelchair.
So funny.
I was Eddie a couple times. I was the narrator a bunch.
Of course.
Usually Dr. Scott. Eddie a couple times, Meatloaf. But I did that for about a year back in like 2010, 2009.
That's amazing,
dude. Oh, no, earlier than that, 2008, 2009. And I stopped doing it because I realized I was a grown-up. But Rocky Horror is an amazing thing. People have been doing that for 40 years now. People have been putting on costumes.
It's a pretty interesting thing.
And doing that whole... And you know, one of my favorite facts about that... Rocky Horror is still in its original run. Can you consider that?
Really?
It's never left theaters. That started happening immediately and has happened. There has never been a time since the week it came out that Rocky Horror wasn't showing somewhere in America.
Wow.
Think about that. Because that started immediately. The Midnight stuff started immediately and just spread.
There has to be some kind of like that's got to be a record.
That's I mean that's it's hard to track, but I've read that before that it is in its original release.
There's no other movie that's done.
No, it's a completely unique thing. That's with the Junior Chamber of Commerce Players, Pittsburgh's official Rocky Horror Shadowcast group.
That's cool.
I'm going to be up there for like 2 minutes because they wanted me to do Dr. Scott again, and I felt I can't do it justice at my age.
Okay.
But I'll be making a cameo tomorrow night at the Hollywood.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of shout-outs and sponsors, real quick.
Yeah.
As always, shout-out to Goods and Evil, goodsandevil.com. Awesome movie, horror, and original designed apparel, t-shirts, mostly t-shirts. They also they got a lot of other cool little products, too, that have some of their designs on them. But they also have a line of vegan wear, awesome vegan shirts if you're into that. So go to goodsandevil.com, use the coupon code HANDLE, and you'll get 10% off any order, no matter how much it is. So yeah, go to goodsandevil.com. Follow them on Facebook. Tell them, hey from us.
Handle. That's the middle word in You Can't Handle the Truth. Did they give you this? Did they give you this new one, the Outpost 31 shirt?
Oh, I really want that one.
That's the thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a crew shirt if you were on the...
Yeah.
On the station from the thing.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's really good.
That's the one I really want.
I'm gonna feel dumb. I don't know what that's referring to. Talk about some of their new shirts.
Oh, Hudson's Arcade.
That's from what?
That's from Tron.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Has Sean seen it? No.
Whoa, the original?
Haven't seen Tron.
Have you seen Tron Legacy?
No, I've never seen a Tron project.
I'm gonna kick you in the fuck.
Is Tron Legacy good?
Yeah, dude. Tron Legacy is pretty good, and it's still, I would say, my favorite soundtrack of the last 10 years.
Oh yeah, who
Daft Punk?
Oh,
they want some shit for it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's really good.
And I'm just looking at Goods and Evil now.
Listen to the Tron Legacy soundtrack on Spotify
for your Halloween year. They've got a badass Nosferatu shirt.
It's really good.
GoodsandEvil.com, offer code HANDLE. That's the middle word, and You Can't Handle the Truth. We'll be back with more right after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey guys, this is Marta from Marta on the Move. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. When you're done with this one, you should go check out mine on www.martaonthemove.com on the Epicast Network. You can find me on Twitter at @ICan'tFindMarta. If you like interesting people and places in Pittsburgh, food and drink, travel advice, and general nerdery, check it out and keep it moving.
Aaron's making a point about the score. He's borrowing someone's point.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, real quick, you heard some other programs from the Epicast Network. What is the Epicast Network? Epicast is our producers and our engineers of our show. They are amazing. If you need a podcast done, if you think you want to do a podcast, if you need audio production done, live events in studio, they do video. They do amazing photography. Yeah, check it out because we like them and they'll work for you guys.
They do. They have a lot they can do.
Oh yeah.
If you're creative and trying to get a project off the ground, you need to look them up at epicastnetwork.com/services. And when you get in touch, make sure that you tell them that you heard about them through You Can't Handle the Truth.
Boom.
Unless you heard about it through another Epicast Network podcast.
Called Grown Dad Business. Which is my podcast.
Yeah.
And this week, Jason Clark joins me again. And we were talking about my new house. If you want to hear more, if you're intrigued about my family building a house, we're going to start talking about this.
And a little love to our Epicast brothers, the drinking partners, because I tried to plug this last week and couldn't get the date.
Yeah.
So I wanted to correct that. The Drinking Partners are coming up on their 100th episode with a big live event. They're doing it at Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater. That's downtown Pittsburgh. They've got beer tasting with a bunch of local breweries. T-Robe, one of our favorite Pittsburgh stand-ups, is going to be doing a set. And then they are doing a live recording with guests John Fetterman, mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, Baron Batch, and Rick Seaback.
Yeah.
Everybody's best friend, Rick Seaback.
Yeah, it's my guy.
He owes me a call back. I'm waiting. I need to talk to him about some things. That's true. Rick Seaback writes a column every month for Pittsburgh Magazine.
That's right.
Hey, that's where I work, everybody. Check out pittsburghmagazine.com.
There's
a plug.
Check it out.
But yeah, congratulations to the Drinking Partners on making it to 100 episodes. That is November 12th at Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater. You can get your tickets at purplepass.com/partnerspod100. Ed Bailey and Dave Bracey. Funny guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those guys.
What you said a minute ago was that the Lone Survivor did not really impress.
Deepwater Horizon?
Yeah. One of them, Peter Berg, directed Mark Wahlberg movies. This is a lot better than Lone Survivor, too. I didn't like Lone Survivor.
I liked it. It was fine.
Deepwater Horizon did not really have a soundtrack, yeah, a score worth mentioning.
But I will say, I could see this getting some nominations for sound design.
Oh, yeah. It's
for sound, and I mean...
The sound is scary. Like, you know, that's what's going to happen. It's going to get that sound mixing and perhaps the sound editing nominations. When shit starts going down.
Lone Survivor, Peter Berg, and written by Peter Berg.
It's terrifying. When you know, we see a lot of movies. We see a lot of stuff that, you know, gives you a little shock. Watching what these people are walking through,
right,
is like a continuous, it's like the bad scenes in a disaster movie for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And it definitely it definitely makes you feel like you're there. I mean, the sound is just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it you know, let's, that seems like maybe what if that's on purpose, that's a great job, because to be in that chaos, that's all you hear.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the interviews with the eyewitnesses were probably like, it was so loud.
Right.
It was just screaming.
But the score is not really notable. And you were talking about a conversation that's going on around Facebook about the Marvel movie music.
Well, and I forgive me, I don't remember the original post.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could try to find it. But
you talk, I'll find it.
No, but essentially, what it is that there's a great comparison with a narrator about, they're showing, you know, movies, music, and some good movies. You know what I mean?
Well, you look at, you know, even stuff that didn't necessarily do it for me, you know, stuff like the Harry Potter movies, the Lord of the Rings movies.
Right.
Oh, already,
those are some of my favorite soundtracks.
Yeah, already those
I
are
burned through those hard.
Being, you know, those will be performed by symphonies. I mean, those are happening in you know, large scale classical performances and all the time.
I love the score of, you know, when a score is good, I think those are the things that make things best pictures. You know, or some of my favorite films of the year. It definitely has to have a great score. And this, you know, maybe they did it on purpose where it was really about the screaming disaster that was going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no real score. And what I mean about the Marvel, it was about the Marvel Cinematic Universe's orchestrated scores.
Uh-huh.
And they throw a comparison to movies that have really great scores and how much they play on what's going on. And then they show the Marvel movies, mostly like Avengers, Thor, and they take music away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put it back in, and they're showing you that it's actually having a negative effect on the films. That they could be better.
I think this started with a video from the YouTube channel Every Frame a Painting, which is absolutely...
Yes, that's what it is.
If you don't know that,
that
and your interest in film, that's... a mind-blowing series. They're usually about 10-minute little mini documentaries on
that
some film topics.
That was what this was from.
And there, you have to watch Every Frame of Painting. It's unbelievable. But yeah, it's you know, they get into a little bit some of the reason behind this, but that's absolutely true. You know, when I talk about, and I've gotten to the point where I listen to movie music, especially at work. I'll put it on.
Oh yeah, sure.
I'm listening to stuff that was a little bit different. The Revenant, I listen to a lot.
Yeah.
Fury Road, I listen to a lot.
Oh, I've been pumping Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
That's odd.
How about
throwing on It Follows? How weird are we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll put on a really good, more traditional one. The Danish Girls score is actually in my list.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spotlight score is in my list.
Right.
But, you know, there has never been a moment in a Marvel movie. And, you know, go back and listen. I like... just about every Marvel movie,
yeah,
except the Thor movies, and there's never been a moment where I'm like, oh, the music is really doing something here, you know?
Yeah.
Not, and I'm used to it having more of an impact because I, you know, grew up on, you know, stuff like Raiders and even Jurassic Park. And
sure.
When oh, you know, I that mean, really helped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. All my favorite films, the score is amazing. It's also one of my favorite scores.
Yeah.
I mean, Gladiator has fallen down the list, but still, I mean, the Gladiator soundtrack is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
I'm trying to think of my favorite. You know, it might be Jaws, which is really? Obviously a very cliched answer.
I
but
mean, let's smack this down real quick.
Go past, you know, the iconic opening of Jaws.
Yeah.
And it's really phenomenal throughout. You know, it's all it keeps working in little bits of the sea shanties.
Yeah.
And is much it's mu- that score is much higher. Just the notes are higher than you remember when you sit down to watch it. That's really good. Hmm. I would say that and The Shining. I mean, that's easy because The Shining's my favorite movie.
Yeah, that's tough. But, that's a tough soundtrack to listen to.
By the way, that is an incredibly rare piece of vinyl, like thousands of dollars.
Oh, really?
Is The Shining soundtrack because they put it out and then realized there was stuff in there that they didn't have the rights to and immediately took it off the market.
Wow.
So there was a couple of months where you could buy The Shining soundtrack on vinyl.
I mean, if I, you know, I'd really have, we got to do a music episode.
Yeah.
But if I had to throw it together, I would say Gladiator, Out of Africa, Rocky.
Oh, sure.
Well, dude, I love that. What's that? Billy. Who is it? Jeez, oh, man. I love that, like, funky, like, jazzy stuff. And then I would say I really love Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, sure. Sure,
really
sure,
good. Sure. Oh, geez.
I mean, you got a much different conversation when you get into soundtracks.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of the soundtracks I've listened to. The Kill Bill soundtracks I listen to a ton.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've
any
Tarantino.
Had
those.
And Pulp Fiction.
Oh, dude, my favorite Tarantino is Inglourious Basterds. That soundtrack.
Really?
Oh, that soundtrack's so good.
Huh.
Oh, so good.
Pulp Fiction's real good.
Yeah, it is.
Jungle Boogie and Dick
well,
Dale.
Well, we're talking soundtracks. And,
yeah.
You know, well, Boogie Nights is one of my favorite soundtracks.
Sure.
Albums. But no.
Lebowski, even.
Oh, Lebowski's so good.
Yeah.
But score, you just said it and it jumped out of my brain.
Jurassic Park,
Inglourious Basterds. Oh, I'm sorry. Anything like Magnificent Seven, dude.
Morricone. Dude. Sure.
And Ennio Morricone is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I will listen to the Spaghetti Western radio station.
What's the one? Because I
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's probably the best Western soundtrack of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Might have to put that on.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll listen to it on the way home.
That's so good.
I'll get 18 minutes of it because the Liberty Bridge is open again.
Yeah. So, we gonna rate this?
Yeah, we're gonna rate Deepwater Horizon and get out of here.
Do you think this is gonna be a best picture?
No. Too action. It's too much of an action movie.
Did World Trade Center get nominated for best picture?
No, people didn't really like that.
Maybe it's too soon.
I liked it a lot.
Too soon? When was
that? No, I think I've said this on the podcast before. I really like both that and United 93. And my editor, by the way,
I wasn't crazy about 93.
I still contribute.
Maybe because it was a lie.
I still contribute reviews to a site called boxofficeprofits.com.
Yeah, right,
that's
right,
profits
right.
with a PH. That's been run forever by a guy named David Mumpower. David Mumpower and Kim Hollis write that.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me this, and he said he thinks United 93 is in his top movies of the decade. Which
really?
I wouldn't say, but that's a very interesting opinion. I am happy with those movies because those are two good filmmakers, Oliver Stone and why am I blanking? Who did United 93?
I don't know.
It's somebody good, and I'm just I can picture him, and I can tell you other things, and I'm just blanking on
Paul
the name.
Greengrass.
Paul Greengrass.
Yeah,
I think.
The Bourne guy.
Oliver Stone and Paul Greengrass did the world a service by saying, we're going to tell these stories right now and do a pretty simple, straightforward job so a shittier filmmaker doesn't come along and try to do it.
Okay.
You know, I we're going to do it and do it right. If a little bit on the nose and a little bit saccharine, we're just going to get it done now before someone does a worse job with it.
Okay.
That's how I feel about those movies. But I liked World Trade Center. I enjoyed. I got teared up at the end when they pulled Nick Cage out of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Michael Pena's great in that.
Oh, he's really good.
You mentioned him earlier.
That's what made him.
Yeah.
I really do.
He's been in
a lot of stuff.
He was made by a little movie called Crash. Thank you very much.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good in End of Watch.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I've heard it's great.
Very underrated.
Deepwater Horizon. I might have to go to 8.
Dude, I'm going to go 8.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was
Peter
7,
Berg directed it wonderfully. An amazing cast.
Yeah. And very surprised.
It was very well done. Very well written.
For some reason, despite the fact that we saw a title card before the movie that listed the cast, it just didn't register with me that John Malkovich was in the movie. So when he walked in, I was like, oh, yeah, well, now we're set.
I looked it up maybe, whenever. I was looking at movies and I saw, I was like, John Malkovich, huh?
Yeah.
But then you're right. As soon as I start watching, I go, oh, yeah, he's in this.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And man, does he kill it. Him and Kurt
really
Russell,
good.
I could see them arguing about oil for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I would. I would watch that.
Give me those deleted scenes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's some dude, go see it.
Yeah.
Take your pap. Take your dad.
Take
father-in-law.
Your dad.
You got that uncle that, you know, you're like, I don't really see Gary that much.
It's true. Gary.
Go with Gary. Go with Gary.
I told my kids that when we move out, that some guy named Gary's going to buy the house. So my son's like, I don't want to leave. And I said, all right, we're going to have to stay here with Uncle Gary. So now the joke in our house is that Uncle Gary is going to buy our house.
You're going to have to hire someone to play Gary.
My kids know that I'm...
No. Go down to Arcade this weekend. Say, I need somebody to play Gary. And just have him like hang out outside the windows every now and then.
They know a lot of people from Arcade.
Well, yeah,
but yeah, I'll get somebody to play Uncle Gary.
Get Brett Goodnack. He's the guy to play Gary.
He's too young to play Uncle Gary.
Too young
oh my
to
gosh!
Play Uncle
have they, oh, I was going to say, have they ever met Lou Stein? But he takes photos of our family.
Right.
They definitely know Lou.
They know Jethro.
Yeah.
We're just
We've
naming people we know.
Really I'm just saying, funny people.
I'm just saying. Oh yeah, those are all very funny people.
Oh
I'm
my
just,
gosh.
Who?
They don't know Dave Rinaldo.
Oh my, that's Uncle Gary.
Uncle Gary is Dave Rinaldo. Dave,
if you're listening, you're now Uncle Gary. Just pop up in the Cliver's windows any point in the next 3 months. And Aaron's going to go, know who that is?
It's Uncle Gary.
It's Uncle Gary. You better act right. You're staying with Uncle Gary.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.